Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games and promotions, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
Now's the time to plan for the 2015 Sundance Film Festival, taking place January 22nd through February 1st. Find out more by visiting sundance.org/festival.
I'm Alex Springer, and this is Slug Sound Waves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free, monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. I've been one of Slug's illustrious food and restaurant critics for the past 2 years. In addition to eating a lot and writing about it, you can check out my video game reviews and book reviews every month in Slug Magazine. This episode, we'll be talking with Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp about some food trends that have been increasing in Utah. And so we're going to kick it over to Jeffrey. Thank you so much for being here with us, Jeffrey. Let's start with the pizza by the slice. It seems like that's becoming more of a thing lately, getting pizza by the slice. What have you noticed in your...
Pizza exploded.
Pizza
exploded all over the place. Yeah, we were talking about this not too long ago with a group of Yelpers, and it got ridiculous there. I think it slowed down. Well, I think we see a lot of new business openings slow down now. You know, very, very end of the year, people are out shopping. And I think that's really the focus. But man, we've seen a lot of pizza places open. I compiled a list of about 11 that opened in the last 10 in the last 6 months, and another one in the last little bit. I think it's this fast casual, right? Casual is that hybrid between a sit-down restaurant and fast food. So if you think about your... Cafe Rio is the perfect example.
Right, yeah.
Where you go in, you... order. Sometimes they take you down a line and you get a bunch of stuff, but it's, you know, you order at the counter, you don't have to pay a server to bring you anything, and that's sort of been the explosion. So pizza's done that. Some of it's by the slice, some of it is that, like, Cafe Rio Chipotle style where you walk down, and I'm just going to start naming some examples.
For sure. It's something that I'm excited about myself. I'm always looking for a place to get a quick slice of pizza.
New places that have opened, if you're talking about pizza by the slice, there's a brand new place called Slices. And Slices just opened a couple months ago. It's decent food. It's up on the east side. And yeah, I haven't heard anybody go crazy about it, but, you know, it's another, like, neighborhood local pizza joint. If you're looking at that, like, that Chipotle Cafe Rio style down the line, that's sort of what we're seeing a lot of opening. So Pizza Studio is a chain that has just come into Utah with 4 new locations. There's one on 72nd and Highland. There's one that opened on Foothill.
And that's one right by my place. Yeah, I've got to check that one out, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, they're doing some things to try to reach out to local places. So Pizza Studio, you think about art studios, they bring in local artists and highlight them on the wall. They don't charge the artists anything. And then if they want to sell any of the artwork off the wall, they have the opportunity to do that. So that's kind of a cool reach out thing, but it is a chain that's been successful elsewhere. Likewise, you have Pieology, which opened in Draper in the last several months. You have Pizza Rev, which I think is West Valley, and that's the same kind of go down the line, build your own pizza sort of a model. Local folks, Pizzeria Limone just opened another spot in West Jordan. You have Pie 5, which was previously in the state, and they, you know, have opened another location. Zilio's, which is the folks who owned Cafe Bellaroo. I think that was open the last year. So they closed Bellaroo, and now they just have Zilio's Artisan Pizza. And then another chain that has come in is Marco's Pizza.
Nice.
Which is, I think, on 9th East, maybe, in Murray, kind of that part of the valley.
See, what I think this is kind of opens it up to is doing some, like, pizza hopping places. Like, I could see you go, say, check out one of these newer places and then head down to, like, Pie Hole or Este. Just kind of do a pizza hop. Because it's usually pretty cheap.
Pie crawl.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a new thing. I mean, that's something I'd be into.
Yeah, I've done a pie crawl before. In 2011, we did a Yelp, like, we called it a pie crawl because it was on Pie Day 3.14, but we started out up at the Pie, up the underground location, and then we went to a couple pie places. But yeah, pizza, with all this, the new pizza in town, I think you could definitely crawl around town and do that. And there's some nicer places, too. You know, these are, you know, some of them are chainy, some of them are local, but there are some, like, nice pizza-esque kind of places that have opened. I'm hearing a lot of really great things about Oakwood Fire Kitchen down on 123rd and Draper. Amongst pizza, they have many other things, but they have a really great oven there. Obviously, it's an Oakwood Fire Kitchen, so it's a fire pizza.
And fire makes it good.
It does. There is something to be said for that, like, little burn on the top.
Totally.
And thin crust. It's pretty great. And then there's a great looking oven at the Ridge Market and Cafe, which is way up in Suncrest, very, very end of the valley. It's a brand new, it's pretty casual. I'm not sure the food is like go crazy, crazy for it, but they have a really great location, great views. And it's above the, I'll say the dirty word, it's above the inversion. So if you're trying to get out there and you want to grab a bite while you're up there, you can go all the way out up to the very top of Suncrest and it's there. So
nice.
Pizza from them as well.
Now, from some of these places, are we looking at kind of traditional pizza that you can get, or does some, because I know some place does, they can have some really crazy like Thai chicken kind of pizzas. Is anything that you've kind of heard about there?
There's a mix. So Mellow Mushroom, for example, just opened up in Sugar House, and that great renaissance of Sugar House that is just amazing right now. Mellow Mushroom is an out-of-state chain. I've not eaten the one in here, but I did eat the one in, I don't know if it was Tempe or Scottsdale or wherever it was in there. I think it was Tempe in Arizona. And they have some kind of funky stuff going on. I think, like, Pizzeria Limone, or Limone, I've never asked them how to pronounce that. Whichever one it is.
Whichever one it is, yeah.
They, every so often, I mean, they'll throw, like, pears on pizza. Nothing too outside of the box. But I think that the idea behind this fast casual, and especially the build-your-own sort of mentality, is that whatever you want to throw on there, you can kind of throw on there. But I think of the list, Mellow Mushroom is probably the one who's got some of the funkier kind of things going on.
Yeah, I've been, I like that that's part of that revitalization down there in Sugar House too. Like, that makes that sort of a sweet location to go get some pizza, and that's one place I want to check out.
Yeah, I like your idea, man. Let's put together a pizza crawl, and you can just go around town.
Get
some of the old
out.
Classics. You mentioned Estee.
Uh-huh.
And Estee, I think, just opened a Park City location. You're looking at their new location, newish location there in Sugar House as well. Pie Hole, oh, I love Pie Hole.
Right.
You can't.
Pie Hole, that's the perfect, like, when you think of a pizza place, like, I don't know, it's like that perfect underground kind of, and they've got a little arcade in the back and everything. Yeah.
It's divey and unpretentious, and it's just, to be fair, I've never been there at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, I don't know if it's a little rowdy. I don't know what the vibe is at that point, but like, yeah, when they first opened, they filled such a need in downtown to get that late night
drink. Great location
pizza.
There. Yeah. Like when you're going to a bar or club or whatever, seeing a show and they're open late, you can go and grab some pizza right there.
I think they're going to stick around. Now, we just talked about a lot of brand new places. I don't know if Salt Lake is big enough to support not only all the pizza that we already had, but 11 new pizza places over the last 10 over the last 6 months. You know, I think there's going to be winners and there's going to be some who are going to struggle. Who are going to struggle. And I wish every brand new local business luck, but the real question is there enough demand to handle the brand new influx, this surge, this rise of pizza in Salt Lake City? And my feeling is that of the list that I just said, if we came back a year from now, there'll be other ones beside that have opened, but some of these on the list may not.
Yeah, because we've got we like our staples. We've got our standbys here that you know, everyone digs. So it's kind of muscling in with these newer places. So it will be interesting to see how that shakes out, though, for sure.
That's been a big one. That's been a big one in the last 6 months. I think people do love their pizza, but you're absolutely right. We'll see what makes the cut.
We'll see.
Already I see, you know, from a Yelp point of view, I already see that some of them are doing better than others. So I always check before I go because, you know, there's so many options for pizza.
Right.
You really shouldn't waste your money on pizza that's no good.
That's true. That's true.
Now's the time to plan for the 2015 Sundance Film Festival, taking place January 22nd through February 1st in Park City, Salt Lake City, Ogden, and Sundance, Utah. Be the first to see iconic films like Reservoir Dogs, Memento, and the Oscar-nominated Beasts of the Southern Wild that have all premiered in years past. Find out more by visiting sundance.org/festival.
Hi, it's Bill Allred, and while you've been playing with yourself, I've been interviewing people for the Let's Go Eat show. Here's an example of what I'm talking about.
Artie Fufkin, when did you start?
Actually, I was your second intern back in 1992. I was there from the freaking beginning, and you always scared me. You made me cry every freaking morning. Made me cry.
I did not.
I cried on the way home. I cried on the way there. Every day, I was crying.
Why?
You made me cry. I couldn't please you.
Download the Let's Go Eat show now. It's available on iTunes and the Let's Go Eat Show.com.
So in addition to our new pizza places and our like pizza by the slice that we've got coming into Utah, we've also noticed sort of an upswing in some interesting food trends that range from everywhere from food trucks to kind of Korean food, things like that. What are some food trends you've been seeing, and where are some places we can go check them out?
Well, maybe we'll talk about what we've seen in 2014, and then we can look into our crystal ball
and look into
Alex.
The future,
yeah.
And see what we'll make some predictions as to what maybe we can combine pizza and
ramen.
Sushi, ramen, or whatever.
ramen pizza, although there is a place to, well, maybe we'll jump right in then to ramen.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
2014, yeah. The rise of ramen. We all saw it coming. I think it was, you know, something big on the...
It was like little at first, but yes, yeah.
Pacific Northwest has had it for several years. It was a big trend there a few years ago, and I've been crossing my fingers hoping it would get here. And Mike from Kobe Sushi, I think he was really one who... it was available before, but he's one who really takes some time, and in my humble opinion... Taste-wise, probably does the best job around town, although there's plenty of places I would send anyone. So we saw Naked Fish had a ramen shop in for lunch, and now Tosh has gone off and opened his own ramen place, which is about, what, 13th in the state? The old Korean restaurant there. So Tosh's ramen is now open, been open for just a couple months, and he does a really nice job. I mentioned Kobe. Japan Sage Market, I think if it wasn't 2014, it was late 2013, started doing a lunch-only ramen, and it's pretty good. And then Mount Fuji, I've been there twice in the last week. They just started doing ramen, like in earnest, on November 1st, and they just started doing it for dinner last week.
Oh, cool.
And I don't, it's not gourmet, it doesn't, you know, they don't take the time and the focus and the energy that Mike does at Kobe, but my goodness, it's just a fun place. They have a $14 bowl of sushi,
nice.
A piece of vegetables. If you eat it, the whole thing, drink the broth too, they give you a prize.
Oh, cool.
Which is a ramune drink, which is a soft drink. They have a lot of flavors, but they're all clear. It comes with like this cap. You take off the cap, you break it apart, there's a plunger. You plunge down, you hit the marble out of the... it's just like
wow.
The most Japanese crazy weird thing that you ever heard.
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
It's amazing, and it's just a fun... not really divey, but not fancy place to just go get a bowl of ramen. They have a curry ramen that showed you the miso. All the different kind of like donkotsu that you would expect everywhere else. But
nice.
They do a fun job of it. So
and yeah, that sounds like something to be nice to check out. And it's getting colder. I love that bowl of ramen or a bowl of pho or something like that. When it's really cold like this, it's perfect.
Yeah, I think 2012, 2013, we saw the rise of pho.
Right.
And now it's ramen.
Now we're on to ramen. Cool.
You also mentioned Korean food.
Sure.
We saw couple things this year. Cup Bop.
Oh, yes. Great food truck. Yeah.
They have, right now, two trucks, and they do this little thing at the Real Stadium. But I think the last I heard, and again, this can all change because there's what happens and there's plans. But I've heard they have plans in the works for up to 5 trucks coming soon. And these guys, it's if you haven't seen it, Cup Bop is dinner and a show.
It is
boisterous.
Every time I've gone, they're either dancing or singing along to a song on the radio. And I also really dig their social networking. They figure that out. Like they have people like naming new dishes, and they do these kind of shout outs to people. They know what they're doing.
They've done parties for people. We've done parties with them when they were introducing a new item. They threw a big party and let everybody come try it. They're really smart, engaging, fun guys. But also Bumblebees.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Bumblebees opened in Midvale at about it's 80th and 79th and State Street.
Right.
And he had a K-Town and an A-Town menu, Korean and American, and the A-Town just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right.
And the Korean, but it's like burgers.
Uh-huh.
But with a Korean twist to it. I don't love the word fusion, but if it helps you to think about it as Korean American fusion, that's what it would be. And that's the sort of the young blood Korean.
Mm-hmm.
I think Korean for a long time in Utah was okay, but it was more of the old school. You sit down, you have a bibimbap and your bulgogi, and now it's like this young, fun Korean food thing that we've seen from, especially in California, Southern California, making its way into Utah. I love it.
That's one I checked out fairly recently as well, that Bumblebees, and it's awesome. It's one of those things that I think it's definitely a niche there. It's my wife and I often talk, we're like, oh, you know what, we need to try some Korean food. We haven't really gotten to that point, and then lo and behold, that place opened up, and we were really impressed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do it. They do a nice job.
Mm-hmm.
So ramen, Korean food. Also, I think 2014 was came a long way in like sensible cocktails plus good food. So before you had bars with bar food or restaurants with some drinks, but I think you've seen places like Copper Common right here downtown. You've seen places like Beer Bar where, it's beer, but it's a sensitivity to the different kinds of of beers and trying to have a changing menu that's updated with food that had some thought put into it. You have places like Rye. You have places like Whiskey Street, where it's not just your average everyday bar food, and that's been good to see. I think moving on to farm to table, I think that's still going strong. I think just saying, though, that you're farm to table now is...
Yeah, you've got to kind of put your money where your mouth is a little bit with that.
Yeah, show it. Like, if you're saying, hey, we have fresh ingredients, you're kind of saying, like, hey, we cook with good stuff, and like, who isn't making that claim? Like, what right. do you mean farm to table? Like, what are you highlighting? Is it seasonal? Are you changing your menu? I mean, I think the idea is still really strong, but I think just saying it now isn't enough. Now there needs right. to be some action.
Because it's easy to open a new restaurant and throw around those buzzwords and kind of make it give the appearance that, you know, you're with it or whatever. But yeah,
local,
it's true.
Seasonal, fresh, natural. Yeah. What does it all mean? Like, right. let me see it. Let me taste it.
For sure. Yeah.
And then, of course, I think, you know, we have this thing on Yelp called Yelp Trends, and it lets you see, like, how many times a certain term was mentioned in reviews.
Oh, cool.
So if you pull up gluten-free, that doesn't even show up until, like, 2012, I think, mm-hmm. 2013.
Yeah.
And then the line goes straight up and to the right. So gluten-free has just exploded.
Totally.
The future of that, I don't know. But it is a big deal right now.
Right.
So I don't know. Future, do you want to talk about what we think is going to happen in 2015?
God, you know, because, yeah, and I want to jump off from the sushi burrito.
Sushi burrito.
Okay, so sushi burrito on 8th. I remember driving past before it opened, and all I saw was future sight of sushi burrito. And I was immediately, like, intrigued. I had never heard of that concept. Apparently it is kind of a big thing on the West Coast.
Yeah, I've eaten it. There's a place in San Francisco that's been doing it for several years
sure.
called Sushirito.
Cool. So again, I was unaware of that. So that made me very excited. So as soon as it opened, I went there with some friends just so we could kind of try a bunch of things. And it was one of those things that I didn't really know what to expect. I was like, is it going to be Mexican food with, like, raw fish? Or And I was just kind of floored. But then when you get it, it kind of makes sense. It's just like a giant sushi roll that they don't cut up.
It's a sushi roll the size of a burrito.
Right. And it's really good sushi there. I mean, I thought as far as the places that I've been to comparably, and you get a bunch of it, which I kind of like, because that's been my one thing with sushi is I always feel like I go and
then you
I don't
burger
get it
afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah. We go and, like, then swing by some place cheap, maybe get a slice of pizza or something afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I think opens the door to all kinds of strange fusion. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to sometimes figure out early on what's a trend and what's kind of a one-off or a
sure.
gimmick.
Yeah.
And the folks behind Sushi Burrito have a long history of restaurants here in Salt Lake City. They had Rice Fusion. They do Thai. I'm going to get this wrong. I think Thai Basil, one of the, you know, mm-hmm. Thai places. And so they know sushi and they've done it and they're not going anywhere. They're not, you know, I think they are trying to get in on something that has sort of gotten a lot of traction elsewhere. And,
right.
And I think that idea where, you know, suddenly we have pork belly tacos,
uh-huh.
you know, Korean barbecue tacos, where you take, like, definitely Mexican and definitely Korean and you put it together is really interesting. And sometimes it's well done and sometimes it's not. So I will say about Sushi Burrito, you'll love it
mm-hmm.
or you won't.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because it definitely, if you're the type of person who likes the sushi culture, like going to get sushi as social strata, something like that, you might not dig it, because it is, it's like, it's a burrito place, but it's sushi burrito. So yeah, that's one thing I could see.
Yeah, the fusion, it's interesting. I'm always open to people doing things together, but you know, taking two different cuisines or some different ideas and putting them together, but it has to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, there has to be a sensibility there. And it, you know, if it's really just gimmicky, I think people
right.
around here, I think it's big for a minute and then 6 months later, but it's like, oh, do you remember that place that
yeah.
used to be open?
So, right, right, right.
So we'll see. You know, I'd love to see more of that stuff come in. The other things we're seeing coming in, you mentioned food trucks.
Uh-huh. That's rising.
Yeah, some of the ordinances changed in the last couple of years, making it a little bit more friendly. And I think one of the things we see in other markets that happens is food trucks actually turn to brick and mortar. And we're seeing that
right.
here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Chow Truck is opening
Chow
up
truck,
a new
right.
brick and mortar location up in Farmington. Cut Bop, I think, is... I think that would be one where if I was them, I would think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always in their mind. We'll see if it really comes to fruition here in 2015.
Sure.
other things, I think, from other places. We see Southeast Asian food, like Burmese. Maybe that's just me willing it to happen because I love Burmese food.
That would be great. Yeah, get a little bit more of that Southeast Asian
vibe. Get some Filipino food in here. I think fermented food has been really big, especially in the Pac Northwest. So kimchi, sauerkraut, pickles, but not pickled in the traditional sense, but fermented, chutneys. Gosh, maybe that's, again, me willing stuff to come here, but that's a legitimate trend that we see other places.
Right. Well, and what I would kind of, I kind of like this idea of these trends coming up, because I think about places like Singapore, who have this sort of street food culture, where you can kind of make a night out of just wandering and getting, trying all kinds of different food. And I don't know if we're quite there yet, but it's kind of cool to see just, I guess, that opening to all kinds of different cuisines coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people are less afraid.
Right.
And I think, you know, Yelp certainly has a part in that, because you can read what other people say, and like you can read like, oh, here's how you order, and here's what it tastes like, and here's what's good and what's scary, or, you know, whatever. I think, you know, just overall, just technology has helped us to expand our culinary horizons, seeing food pictures, photography out there that, you know, you the whole idea behind chains and why they're so successful is because people know what to expect. You know, you're in a different state, you're in a different part of the city that you're from, and you just don't know what's there and what's good, and you're scared of the different things, and so you wind up at Applebee's.
Right.
And I think, you know, technology really has closed the loop on that, bringing people to try new things. And that's, I think, a trend we're seeing more in 2015 is more technology in dining. I think those clunky pay that you get, you know, we have a product now that I just found out about, where you can restaurants sign up and they can, you know, alert people by text when their seat is ready, and so you're seeing a lot more of that, a lot more restaurants getting engaged on social media. That we're going to see more of. It's going to be a fun year to look ahead to 2015, see if the coffee renaissance part two that we're having in Salt Lake continues, if juice bars continue, or if they've sort of leveled out.
I'm always excited when these newer places open up, because not only is it fun to go try a new type of food, it just adds to the diversity, I think, of the city, of the state, and I think that's huge. I think diverse food is very important.
Yeah, I think the last thing I'll say is I think Asian is the next fast casual up in the rotation. So we saw fast casual burgers in like the Smash Burger, Five Guys kind of things that have come in, and that was pizza. You know, we talked about fast casual pizza, and I think Asian is the next big thing. Some out of state brands. You have. Well, think about like Zale Cafe here that opened, or Noodle and Chopstick, which is that model. And then outside the state, you have places like Asian Box, Glazed Teriyaki, Mama Foo's, Shop House, that I think will probably expand. And maybe we'll get some of those here in 2015.
Well, that's awesome. And we can look forward to that for sure. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much for talking to us. You can find Jeffrey on Twitter at Yelp Utah.
Yep, at Yelp Utah.
And anything else you'd like to throw out there about Yelp or yourself?
Hey, man, we're doing a lot of photography these days on the old Instagram account. Follow us at Yelp SLC. And we're posting up a lot of really, you know, anytime we're going to try something out or have the inside scoop at an event or stuff that's opening, you know, we try to push it out to everyone so that you guys can get a taste of what's going on here in Salt Lake City. So at Yelp SLC there, or at Yelp Utah.
Cool. So yeah, send all your awesome food pics. Follow
yeah,
up
tag
on
us, hit us up, and we'll let the world know.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Jeffrey. It's been great having you. Thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Slug Sound Waves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Slug Sound Waves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine. It was produced by Gavin Sheehan. Associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, and John Ford. Executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art designed by Nicholas Dowd. Technical design by Kate Colgan. And once again, thank you very much for listening.